Greetings all of God's people. This is again Mordecai Joseph. We're today in lesson 360. And we are in Numbers chapter 35, where God is now commanding Israel to give, at this point through Moses, before they enter into the land while they are right there in near Jericho, after taking care of the properties, that is of the land, of the territory of all the tribes of Israel. Now he says, you've got to take care of the Levites also, because once all the tribes of Israel are situated in their own land, then from each one of them you can take a portion of land. So otherwise, obviously they could not have done it the other way around, with the Levites first. And so we read in this chapter in the beginning that God told Israel, from every tribe, according to the number of the children of Israel, and the territory, the size of the territory, they should give a certain amount to the Levites. And the bigger tribes had to give more, obviously, and the smaller tribes had to give less. And basically, it was in order for the Levites to be in their territory and to care for their spiritual needs. And so, obviously, the more were in the tribes, you know, the more Levites they need, the more priests. And that's basically how God divided the Levites among all of Israel. And so we read in verse 4, and the open land about the cities which you shall give unto the Levites shall be from the wall of the city and outward 1,000 cubits round about. So beside the cities that they gave them, and basically there were 48 cities, and they also had to give them a piece of land around it, because they needed the space for the cattle, for their growth, you know, vegetables on a daily basis. After all, you know, when you wait for the tithe, it comes not on an everyday basis, and yet every day you need to feed your family. And so they had a need for the land. And then when the children of Israel gave them also the tithe in terms of cattle and sheep and things like that, they needed a place for them to graze, and that was the purpose for it. And yet God determined exactly how much they should give to the Levites. It was not left up to the priest or the high priest or the Levites. It was not left to the generosity of Israel. You see, God told them exactly how and how much to give to the Levites. And that's in essence how God, from beginning until the end, in every detail, governs his nation. That's his government, the ultimate concept of government. You see, in the kingdom of men, is through the law of God. Because God is not walking around and talking to everybody and telling me, well, I want you to do this and that and the other thing. You see, he does it through his law. That's his government. You see, and then he uses people to facilitate the communication of this law. And unfortunately, sometimes people forget their place and they take it and assume to themselves the authority and the power, the personalized authority and power, and then they begin to think that they are the government, and they are not. You see, God is the government, not them, not people. You see, we're just the instruments. Just like the speaker stands, you know, behind the podium and he speaks, the speaker is the speaker, and the microphone is just an instrument that he uses. You see? And so are human beings. And then when they, you know, when the microphone begins to think that he is the one doing the speaking, then obviously you've got a problem. And that's unfortunately what a lot of spokesmen for God do. They begin to think that they are the government, and they begin to exercise dominion and authority over the faith of others. And God told them, don't do it. One is your master, you see? In other words, he's saying, I'm the government. One is your master, and he's in heaven. The government of God is not on earth. The government of God is in heaven. We are on earth, and through his law, the divine law that he gave us, he governs our lives. And when people learn that, you see, then they live in peace and harmony and unity. The problem is when people rebel and do all kind of wrong things, then unfortunately then human beings have to get involved even more so in their lives. And in the process there is an awful lot of abuse on the part of those who should be facilitators, in essence, to facilitate the communication of the law of God, not to impose it on people, not to exercise dominion and authority over their faith. So this is just another example. And the entirety of the law of God always makes it very plain that it is the law of God, it is God, you see, through His law, who governs the lives of people. And because people are not obedient and do not have the faith and the Spirit of God is not in them, you need to treat them like children, unfortunately, sometimes. But then again, it's not up to people to do that, you see. It's up to people to teach them when they're the people that God calls, you see, to do that. But it's not up to them to impose it on them and to exercise dominion and authority over their faith, just to bring it to their attention. And they despise that, obviously. Generally speaking, God is going to take care of them one way or the other. And so this is what we see here. And in this is what we see in verse 4. In verse 5, God says, "And you shall measure without the city for the east side 2,000 cubits, and for the south side 2,000 cubits, and for the west side also." In other words, all around the city, the exact measurement. And so you can imagine this scene. The Levites are in their cities now, and the elders of Israel with the Levites go out there and they measure. You know, and people are watching that. And when you get to the end of the 2,000-year studies, that becomes the border of the Levites, and then everybody knows this is the border. And up to this point, the Levite can be, you see, regardless of how important he is, or the priest. And from that point, then the Israelites have their own land. And when the Levites and the priests, obviously, either depart from the law of God, then they begin to abuse the law of God, and then they become, you know, people who oppress the people of Israel, exercise dominion authority over them, you know, thinking, well, I'm an important person, I should get more, things like that, you see. Well, that's when they step out of line, and they're no longer governed by the law of God, which is the government. You see, the government of God is spiritual. It's not physical. And when people are not thinking properly, you see, they bring a lot of calamities upon themselves because of that. That's why God said that the time will come where I'm going to write my laws in your heart. That's the new covenant. Then the government of God will be within our heart, written. Nobody needs to tell us. Why? Because we are governed by that law of our own free will. You see, because we have allowed God to write it in our hearts. He's not going to force it upon us. We willingly submit to it, and it's written in our hearts, and then we know how to function properly, you see. And then God doesn't need to come down and remind us of this and that and the other thing. He doesn't need to send prophets to remind us of what to do and what not to do. He doesn't need the priesthood and the Levites to come and tell us, hey, you're not doing this right or this right, you see. It's written in our hearts. And a lot of people don't understand the concept of government. You know, they think about the human kind of form of government, where they are there to exercise dominion and authority over you. And God says, don't have this kind of government. You see, I'm not interested in a human government. And yet people go for it, unfortunately, and the very ones that God appoints to be in the position of the facilitators, you know, in terms of the communication of the law of God, they take upon themselves the mantle of government, and that they call themselves the government, and they deceive people to believe so. And so now people begin to look up to men. And they don't ask, what does God say about it? Or what does the church say about it? What does Mr. So-and-so say about it? Well, in some places they would say Mrs. So-and-so, or Miss, or whatever. You see? That's perversion. Christ made it very plain. I don't want you to have this kind of government. The Gentiles have it. That's why they exercise dominion authority over their faith. You see? And once we learn that, then we're going to learn, you know, what the Apostle Paul was talking about. He said that the law is not made for the righteous. Why? Because the righteous man has the government of God written in his heart, and he's governed by that government of God, which is the very nature and mind of God expressed through his law, his teachings, his instructions. And so when you read this is in essence what you are seeing here. Through these instructions, God is writing His law in the heart of people. And when they obey it and follow it, then there is no problem. There is harmony and unity. So, when we read this law, we should not just think in terms of the mechanics of it, you know, the legalism of it, you see. But think about the spiritual living law that God gave us. That He said, my word is spirit. And if my word abides in you, if my government abides in you, if my law and instructions abide in you, you see, then you're going to have life. And unfortunately, people do not, because they don't even understand properly the concept of government from God's point of view, and they go to human examples and they follow it. That's what idolatry is all about, and people worship men. And they look to them for solutions. And men take advantage of it, you know, because men, a lot of them, generally, they are greedy for power and authority, and so they feel comfortable with it. And so this is what God is telling them, 2,000 cubits around every city, and all sides, square, it's going to be a square, in other words, and this shall be to them the open land about the cities. And the cities which you shall give unto the Levites, there shall be the six cities of refuge, that means among the 48 cities, six of them are going to be refuge, three on either side of the Jordan River, and then he told them later on, you know, that they are going to expand their territory, they are going to have that is, they are going to have more cities designated as cities of refuge. And in the beginning, they didn't need it. And obviously, the more they were obedient to God, the less there was a need for this kind of this six cities. Verse 6, and the cities which you shall give unto the Levites, that's what he said here, six cities of refuge, which you shall give for the manslayer to flee there. It doesn't mean that the only people that lived there were the people that fled, because they killed someone. The Levites were living in those areas, and so those people were given a certain territory so they could go and live in the, within those cities, not outside, but within those cities. And the Levites, the priests, will be the judges of the matter, whether what they have done was contrary to the law of God or it is in accordance with it, and that's how they would determine whether they are going to be allowed to be there. In other words, God did not allow prisons. That's not his concept, that's a demonic concept when you think about it. You see, place of restraint, confinement. That's the mind of the devil. And we take it for granted. You know, you commit a crime, you go to prison. Well, that's where you produce demons. In prisons. Hardened criminals. If they were bad when they went in, they are going to be much worse, seven times worse when they come out. And they will come after the society that did it to them. You see, God didn't want that like that. He wanted those people that have made mistakes, whatever it may be, to end up in a city where the people who dwell there are men of righteousness, men of the law, men who could teach them right from wrong. Maybe, you know, they had a hot temper, wrath, whatever it may be. And the Levites are going to help them there, guide them, lead them, counsel them, teach them, help them to walk in righteousness, help them build character. You see, and they were not just sitting around, loafing around, sitting in the bar all day in those cities. They were busy, and because the Levites were there and they were men of truth and of religion and things like that, they were busy in the work of God one way or the other, whatever that work was. Now that's a totally different concept from the way the governments of this earth function, because the governments of this earth are not governed by the law of God. And so we're paying the penalty for it. And so this is what we read here. So the people shall be there, and beside them, beside the six cities, you shall give 40 and two cities, so total was 48. All the cities which you shall give to the Levites shall be 40 and eight cities. Them shall you give with the open land about them, and concerning the cities which you shall give of the possession of the children of Israel, from the many you shall take many. In other words, so there are big tribes, bigger territory, why give more? And you see this overriding principle of God. That's a law of God that most people disobey, have contend for, don't believe in. It's so contrary to them because we're governed generally by human nature, greed and avarice and covetousness and all that. And this law of God runs contrary to it. You see? And that's why man is an enemy of God. It is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, because he is governed by covetousness and greed. And so we say, well, you know, I work hard, I deserve it, you know, why shouldn't I have castles and be a billionaire or things like that and gobble up other companies and be a big corporation? You know, that's the story of success in America. We glorify wickedness. And we're all falling for it one way or the other. We admire those people who are great success, and we don't see them from God's point of view. Yeah, people who have been robbing everybody to be in that position. Even competition itself means that you have to destroy the competition, to destroy other people, destroy their livelihood, destroy, you know, their family, destroy friendship, destroy so much. That's the only way competition works. Get them out of business. Who cares if they are unemployed? That's a demonic system. That's a Babylonian system, and this is what God tells us. Come out of this system. Because so much of what we do, we have been so brainwashed that we cannot even understand it nor comprehend how deep in the mire we are, how much we are into the depths of Satan. You see? Obviously, God hasn't called us to change the world, to make it better, but in our own lives. Doesn't mean we shouldn't be working hard and be successful and things like that, but it means also, on the other hand, because of the system, if we happen to be in that condition, you see, we haven't created this world, we're just stuck in it. God gave us many laws. What do you do with the riches that God gives you? You keep it to yourself? See, like Lazarus and the rich man. He was a rich man. Well, there's nothing wrong about being a rich man. But on the other hand, what have you done with your brothers when you got rich? Kept it to yourself, you see. And then where did he end up? Well, Lazarus, in the parable, just a parable, it wasn't a real story, never happened, was in the bosom of Abraham, you see. Not because he was a poor man, you know, it doesn't mean that if you're a poor man, you're going to go into the bosom of Abraham, you see. Some people may misunderstand that. Well, if I want to be in the bosom of Abraham, the kingdom, I have to be a poor man. Well, God wasn't talking about that. He was just saying that the people that did not obey the government of God, that should have been in their heart and didn't care about their neighbors and just grabbed to themselves and accumulated, you see, where God says, make sure that everybody's taken care of, and if everybody's taken care of, you cannot accumulate yourself so much. You see, that's the way it's going to be. Very simple. You cannot be a big corporation, you see, and make sure that everybody's taken care of. The only way you can be a big corporation is when you eliminate the competition. And you take it all to yourself. And yet the whole system functions like that, and we think it's righteousness. And we law, you know, where we glorify and we speak very highly of the people that have made it in this world, you know, that succeeded, and we don't realize how they did it. Not through godly ways, not through the godly system, but through the demonic world in which we are, the satanic world. And one of these days we're going to have to, you know, to work harder on ourselves in coming out of Babylon, reorient ourselves. And obviously if we study the law of God day and night, by nature it's going to happen. But if we don't, it's going to be a rude awakening for many of us. And we're going to find out that our character and what we are made of is not of God. And that's why a lot of people, you know, will come before God and say, hey, Lord, Lord, you know, we are your people too. We've done this and that. You know, these are people who think they've done right. They function within the system. And you'll tell them, I don't even know you because you are lawless people. And they would not even realize that they are lawless people. A lot of people don't know that they are. Why? Because they do not study the law of God to know what is of God and what is of the devil. And so they're deep in the mire in Babylon and think that they're doing great. They're the people of God. So God is warning us. Because any one of us who is going to be a part of this system, not only religiously, but in every aspect of it, socially, economically, and education-wise, you know, education-wise, entertainment, and things like that, and begin to, in other words, when we are a part of this world, we function like it, and we don't even realize that we are children of iniquity. You see, we think that we are people of God, and then we're going to have a rude awakening. Christ is going to tell us, I don't even know you. Doesn't make any difference that he came to services every Sabbath, or every holiday, or things like that, or every Sunday for other people, and did all kind of good works. You see, if you are not abiding by my law, which is my government, you are not made of me. You are not like me, and I don't want you here. You are of another nature, another God, another spirit, another system. And so that's what he's saying here. Those who are many should give more, obviously. It's as simple as that. And from the few, you shall take few, each tribe. We're in verse 8. According to its inheritance, which it inherits, shall give of its cities unto the Levites. So you cannot be super rich and you cannot be super poor. You cannot be either rich or poor. Everybody has what he needs. You see? And that's the system of God. Everybody's taken care of. Just like you'll make sure if you are a loving father and a mother that in your family every kid is taken care of. You see, if we do not function like that, there is something very, very wrong with us. And if we allow our children to grab and hoard and take so much to themselves while the others are hungry, you know, if you really sit around the table and you notice them do that, you smack them. You see? Because you realize the other kids are going to go hungry if some others, you know, just piled up everything on their plate. You see? Then very immediately we find out, you know, that there is iniquity happening here. We're not going to allow it. And when it comes to the way of life and accumulating riches and all the other things like that, we totally forget that. And we don't realize what it does to many. That's the reason. It has always been like that, that there are few rich people on this earth and many poor people. Because it takes many poor people to make few rich people. There is no way around it. That's the way the system is built and functions. And so, we read in verse 9 here. And the Eternal spoke unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When you pass over the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then he shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you. These are the six cities. That the manslayer that kills any person through error may flee there, and he's going to determine exactly how, under what conditions. Not men. It's not really the judges that determine that. They're just determining whether what was done was in accordance to the government of God, to the law of God, that is, not their own. They're not the government. God is. His law is. You see, we're the instruments. Verse 12, And the city shall be unto you for refuge from the avenger that the manslayer die not until he stand before the congregation, speaking by the congregation in that city of the Levites and the priests, for judgment, and also before their own elders. So, momentarily they need protection, you see, so nobody kills them, and then they are brought before the priests and the Levites in that city, and also before their own leaders in their own community. And so that's in essence a place of safety until that point. And that's the way God made it to be. And so this is what we read here in verse 13. Until they all stand, they are able to stand before the congregation for judgment. And the congregation, Edah, that's what God says. You see, the body of witnesses, that's not talking only about the judge or about the leader. That's talking about the whole entirety of the congregation because they're all involved in that. God wants all of Israel involved in it. It's not just few people, you know, that go into the back room there or a secret place and nobody sees what they're saying, what they're doing, and they render judgment, you know, secret jury and things like that. There is no such a thing with God. It's all in the open. And the entire body of witnesses of the congregation is involved in it. That's God's government and system. When we departed from that, and we're so far from it, and we take it for granted what we have, that it is of God and that it is right, and it's not. That's why God is going to totally demolish the Babylonian system, which is everywhere. You see, there is a system that is everywhere, and there is the source of it, you see, in a certain place. And so this is what we read here. And verse 13, And as to the cities which you shall give, there shall be for you six cities of refuge. You shall give three cities beyond the Jordan, and three cities shall you give in the land of Canaan. And you wonder, you know, why three here and three there? Because, you know, there were 9.5 tribes on one side and only 2.5 on the other side. Now, that's the way God made it to be, because there was room for expansion also on the other side. And you can go either way, you know, wherever you were closer to. And this is what he said here, three on either side, and there shall be the cities of refuge. Verse 15, for the children of Israel and for the stranger, for the settler among them, so it's not only for the Israelites, but also the strangers among them, the people that live there, and the settler, in other words, they're not natives, but they live there, you know, they work for you, and so they too, you know, things happen to anybody, and all of them are going to be afforded the city of refuge, you know, with liberty and justice for all. But it is God's style, not man's. You see? What you find in the kingdom of man, in the government of man, is not really, biblically, with liberty and justice for all. It is done under the laws of men, not the laws of God. So it's not the government of God. That's a human concept, you know, it's a cheap substitute for the law of God. And the constitution, even the best one that you can find in any given country, is a very cheap substitute to the constitution of God, the government of God. We're going to have to learn that, because a lot of people worship the constitution of their own country. Verse 15, it says, this is what it is for the children of Israel, and for the stranger, and for the settler among them, shall these six cities be for refuge, that everyone that kills any person through error, so he repeats that several times, it's not maliciously, it's not deliberately, it's not somebody was planning for it, it's an error, mistake, you know, you go climb on a tree and you cut some branches, somebody's down under, walks under, and the axe falls, you know, and drops on his head, you see, well, what are you going to do at this point? How are you going to explain it? His neighbors, his relatives, his family is going to come around and see that, and the first thing they'll want to do is kill you. Well, then, that's when you flee. And then you're going to have to prove that this is what happened. Verse 16, but if he smote him with an instrument of iron so that he died, he is a murderer. You see, he's not a killer, he's a murderer, and there's a difference between the two. Even in the laws of men, recognize, you know, manslaughter and murder and things like that, different categories. First degree, second degree, and all that stuff. This is all, you know, from this law of God that, you know, the founders of this nation try to copy at least to a degree. And so he said, if he did it deliberately or with an instrument of iron, in other words, sword or things like that, he should be put to death. He's a murderer. You don't put him in prison. You don't put him on death row. You don't give him lethal injection. You don't put him on an electric chair. You see? You don't keep him there for 20 years, 30 years before you finally execute him or things like that. You don't feed him for the rest of his life. You kill him. And that's it. That's the end of it. No prisons. You see? Because only demons are formed in prison. And that's exactly what happens in the prisons of this world. People that go there, they're there and surrounded by other criminals, and they sharpen one another in evil, not in good. And they become worse and worse. And they become, you know, those places become habitations of demons. And that's what man does, thinking that he's doing good. That's not good, that's wickedness in the sight of God. Verse 17, and if he smote him with a stone in the hand, whereby men may die, and he died, he is a murderer. So, the instrument that, in other words, yeah, they're also witnesses. It's not just, it happened, nobody saw it, things like that, because God says you've got to have two or three witnesses. But if you see him take an iron or take a stone, so he's with the intention of destroying, you see. So God says that person is a murderer. And because those are weapons of destruction. So that's what he says here. Or if he smote him with a weapon of wood in the hand, verse 18, whereby men may die, and he died, he is a murderer. So you have an iron, you have stone, and you have wood. You know, you took a baseball bat, for example. Well, when you take a baseball bat, you know you're going to destroy someone, crush somebody's head. So that says, you know, when people with this kind of an attitude, they are murderers. He pronounces them that, not men. Men just basically says what God said. You see, that's what God is ruling us through His law, and His law is the government, not men. And when people don't understand that, they think that they are the government, and they begin to impose their will, their whims, their opinions on others. And Christ said, don't you ever do it. That's where the Gentiles are. That's a demonic form of government. And a lot of people worship government. And they bring a lot of damage on people, and they scare people, and people do not fear God anymore. They fear man. They fear the minister. They fear the pastor. They fear this. They fear that. Not God. They don't have a direct relationship with God. They're perverting minds and hearts.
And a lot of people around are that way, and they think that they're servants of God. They call themselves the government of God, and they are not. You see, they're deceiving people, they're leading them into idolatry to look to them, not to God. Instead of teaching them the fear of God through His law, they teach them their own fear. And then people begin to worship them in the sense that they fear them and they obey them and they look up to them, not to God, not to His law. And so the law of God is not the government anymore to men, but people, the ones who enforce it. So they call them the men of the law. You know? They look at people and they call them the law. No, they're not the law. God is the lawgiver, and He governs us through His law. And until we learn that, we're a part of Babylon. And there are many of us who are that way, and many leaders who are teaching that without even realizing it, and they're the most guilty of all. That's why God says He's going to remove all the shepherds. He doesn't give His approval, stamp of approval over the shepherds of Israel. That is the majority of them. He says He's going to remove them because they have abused His people, drove them away, scattered them in all directions, trampled all over them. You see? They ruled them with rigor, and they abused them, and they cut them off from God, and they taught many people to abhor and hate God, because people begin to assume that the misuse and abuse of government is from God, and it's not. You see? And so God is very furious with the shepherds of Israel, and He's going to remove them, and He said He's going to place over them ministers according to their own heart. And that's exactly what the Apostle Paul was saying. He was contrasting Timothy with the rest of the ministry that he himself has ordained and others have done too. He said, Timothy is a man that is very unique. I have no man of like mind who will naturally care for you. He's not there to abuse you and impose on you His law, His words, His thoughts, His feelings and opinions and all that. He's going to care for you naturally. You see? But as for the others, he said, I know, I don't have anybody like that, because all the others, they seek their own. You see? They're selfish people. That's the ministry that Paul himself has ordained, and many others too. That's what happens when people go back to their concept of government from the Gentile world out of which they came. Now, that's very unfortunate. And so they were abusing the brethren, and he told them that. And people love them. You see, they smite you and you love them. You know, they rob you and they take things from you and you love them. You know, when I come to you and then try to help you and things like that, and you hate me because they've been, you know, perverted and polluted and warped in their concept of government, that they were thinking that the government that Paul was introducing, which is the law of God itself, was not the right kind, and the one that they were used to from the Gentile world, you know, is the right kind. And people are to this very day that way. They are deceived. And this is what he say, what God says here. People, you know, with this kind of an attitude, you know, they're murderers. Because obviously, these are not people that have the law of God written in their hearts. And so they function that way. And oftentimes, leaders function that way. And so verse 19, we read here, the avenger of blood shall himself put the murderer to death. You don't need the judge, you don't need the Levites to do it, you don't need the prison system to do it, you don't need the sheriff to do it, you don't need the prison guards to do it. God says once the elders of the congregation, the whole congregation, the body of witnesses, the priests, the Levites have determined that this man is a murderer, then the avenger of blood, you know, would be the relative, whoever that relative is, he himself will go and execute the penalty. This is God's government. You see? And people do not function that way. We all realize how far we are from it. And so it says, the avenger of blood shall himself put the murderer to death. When he meets him, he shall put him to death. And verse 20, and if he thrust him of hatred or hurled at him anything lying in wait so that he died, or in enmity smote him with his hand and that he died, he that smote him shall surely be put to death. He is a murderer. God had pronounced that, not man. You see? And God had pronounced that, and then he had it recorded, and that word, you see, that we read is you know, it's as if God was standing there and speaking it. So the Word of God is God. That's why we read, in the beginning there was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word is God. The law of God, the Torah of God, is God. You cannot separate one from the other, as many do in their ignorance. I think the law is here, and God is here. And they even say that. The law is not God, God is God. Well, those are extremely ignorant people. They don't know what they're talking about. They're not people who are well-versed in the law of God. That's why Christ said, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. What is he talking about? My law. That's my government. That's my word. That's me. So when you eat the law of God, when you study it, when you walk in it, when you abide by it, you're absorbing God. You're eating him, you're drinking him. You see? The devil comes and deceives people. And so they think, well, there is law on one side, and then there is grace there, and then there is God over here. You see? They dissect everything. That's the children of ignorance and blindness, and yet they pretend to be, you know, the men of God, and the leaders of the people of God, self-appointed oftentimes. And the Spirit of God is not in them as they think it is. They have a good measure of knowledge and understanding just by studying the law of God. But they've got also many, many faulty concepts and ideas, and those things are not of God, and the prophets of God are not that kind of people. For the simple reason, they study the law of God day and night, and they walk in it, and they abide by it, you see, and then they realize who is really God, and who and what is the law. You see, my words are spirit, he said. God is spirit. The law of God is spirit. And you cannot dissect one from the other and divide it, and that's what people do. And so this is what God is saying here, Christ, Jesus Christ, that's him speaking here. He said a person like that, who behaves in that way, in animosity, in enmity, in hatred, and all that, is a murderer. And he shall put, in other words, he says the avenger of blood, you see, the avenger of blood is executing the death penalty on behalf of God, so it's as if God himself stood there and struck that man dead. You see? It's not that the man himself does it, he's just an instrument, a facilitator in that sense. You see? But God himself is the one taking vengeance through human instruments. And this is what's happening here. It says the avenger of blood shall put the murderer to death when he meets him. But if he thrust him suddenly without enmity, you know, it happens. Suddenly you get angry, there was nothing there, for whatever reason, or hurled upon him anything without lying in wait, or with any stone whereby a man may die, seeing him not, and cast it upon him, so that he died, and he was not his enemy, neither sought he his harm. So notice how many laws that God gives here, how many stipulations under which a penalty should be carried or not. And the Levites and the judges and the congregation should go through every tiny little detail here that God gave here, all these rules and regulations under which circumstances there would not be a death penalty. So they have to go through every single one of them. If he thrust him suddenly without enmity, that's two, or hold upon him anything, three, without lying in wait, four, or with any stone, five, whereby man may die, seeing him not, he did not even see him, that's six, and cast it upon him, seven, you see, so that he died, and he was not his enemy, number eight, nor sought his harm. Nine. You see? And the judges had to make sure all these nine stipulations are there. You see? It's not just, that's the way I feel about it. That's the way I do it. No. God gave a law in detail. We must follow it. And that's how God is governing us. And if we're going to choose only two or three here, God is not there all the way. And we make the decisions on our own. God is not interested in human decisions. People who want to worship him should worship him in truth, not partial, and in spirit, not their own spirit. You see? And so when we study the law of God day and night, and we apply it to any situation, be it in those days or these days, it doesn't make any difference, whenever it's applicable, we learn to do all things in accordance with the word of God, as the Lord commanded Moses. And when God looks around at this last generation or any given generation, he sees that people do not behave as the Lord commanded Moses, that is, as the Lord commanded Moses, and he tells humanity, unless you come back to this law that I gave Moses, it's me speaking, it's not Moses, I would just have to destroy all of you. And all of us are in this category, and many of us are kidding ourselves that we are not. That's what God commands us. You either come out of Babylon, you see, its entire value system and thinking and manner of judgment or administration or anything, business, community, religion, entertainment, sex, everything. Unless you come out of it, you're going to be partakers of her plagues. You see? And there is no way to come out of it unless you study the law of God day and night and know every single word. And that's why Christ said, very plain words, and people don't pay attention to it to begin with. They don't know what he's talking about. Men shall live by every word, you see, by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, how are you going to do it? If you remember the law of Moses, if you study it day and night, you would know how to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. If you listen and study all the words that he spoke by the prophets, you would know how to do it. If you listen to the words that came out of his own mouth when he came in the flesh, and that of his disciples, the apostles, you would know how to do it. But if you don't do it and study day and night, how are you going to be living by every word that comes out of the mouth of God? How are you going to be governed by the government of God, you see? If you don't, you're going to be governed by your own government or mixture. And God says, I don't recognize these kind of people in my kingdom. They're not dressed with garments of righteousness. Oh, they've got garments, yes, but they've got a lot of spots and blemishes on them. These are not garments of righteousness. Partial righteousness is not righteousness. As James would say, you broke one, you broke them all. And when people have contempt for the law of God, you see, their verdict is already death. They don't even realize it, and they think they're under grace. Grace is given only to the righteous, not to the unrighteous, to the repentant, not to the rebel. And the majority of people who call themselves people of God are rebels against the law of God. And all of us, to one degree or the other, are, whenever what we do is against the truth, the light, the word of God, the laws of God, the instructions of God. You see? And so we all realize that. No man can ever say, well, I have no sin. If we do, we are liars. So we constantly recognize the need for repentance, the need for grace, which would be applied to us only when we repent, not just because we ask for it. You see? Out of the goodness of the heart of God, he's not going to allow us to get away with murder. You see? That's not the kind of a God he is. He made it very plain. You repent, I'll forgive you. I'll show you grace. You don't, I'll come after you and destroy you. That's as simple as that. And people are not taught this law of God, this law of Jesus Christ, this law of Moses, this law of the prophets, this law of the disciples. You see, they're not. Just have few little things, few little doctrines, sweet, nice talk about Jesus, sweetly Lord Jesus, and grace, and feeling good, and joy, and love, and all that. And that's the extent of their knowledge and understanding of God. People like that are not growing in grace and knowledge and understanding, are not putting on the mind of Christ from Genesis 1:1 to the last verse in Revelation. And obviously, they're not going to be in the kingdom of God. God is not interested in more demons in his kingdom. And so, he gives these 9 instructions here, and he said, then the congregation shall judge between the smiter and the avenger of blood according to these ordinances. Not according to how they feel about it, not according to their own opinions, not according to all man-made, but according to these ordinances which he gave in person to Moses. And that's why he told us, and he warned us through Malachi,
all generations, and specifically this last generation. You either remember the law of God, or are going to bring utter destruction on all of you on the whole earth. And he's not going to compromise with that. You see, a lot of people are taking it very lightly. Well, anyway, we're going to stop at this point. Again, Mordecai Joseph, greetings to all of God's people. Until next time.